Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another exciting episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, how was your weekend?
It was marvelous. You know, we eat well and we watch interesting movies over the weekend. Holly and I put her on a plane to Boston to go make us some more money this morning. But I got to ask you, one weekend, son Max, Georgia State University, how's it going so far?
He still has not returned, so I guess we'll take that as a victory.
I heard through the grapevine, or maybe I saw on social media, that you did have a weekend meal with him, though.
No.
Okay, I heard wrong. Well,
not that I know. Maybe my wife snuck away, but it didn't include me.
I think that may be what happened. You ought to check in with Abby. With all the money that Max is going to be making as he exits college, he's going to need a good accounting solution. This is going to be a fantastic segment because we're going to talk to some folks that know that arena. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Wyndham Brannon, Miss Rebecca Smith, and Mr. Charlie McGimsey. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Charlie, why don't you share a little bit about Wyndham Brannon? What are you guys up to?
Sure. Wyndham Brannon is a medium-sized CPA firm based here in Atlanta. We have about 160 folks. We do traditional work, audit, tax, advisory, and have since 1957. I joined the firm in 1988. I got out of college in 1980 and applied to Wyndham Brannon and didn't get hired.
So they have quite a vetting period there.
They had quite a long vetting period. Around 1990 or 91, I was elected managing partner, and I told a couple of my then partners for the first time that they hadn't hired me out of college. They weren't aware of that. I said, payback's going to be tough.
Exactly. Little. What about you, Rebecca? How'd you get involved with these folks?
I've been at Wyndham Brannon since 2006, so it's my 10-year anniversary, actually, last month, so I'm very excited about that.
Congratulations. What'd they give you? Some party? Some card?
I haven't received my gift yet, but I'm excited to receive
mail.
It.
They gave her a media appearance.
Well, congratulations.
But I'm an audit principal in our audit practice, and I lead the Virtual Accounting Solutions Group.
So now, can you share a little bit about the Virtual Accounting Solutions Group? Is that a new venture, or how long have you guys been doing that?
We started working on it in 2014. We researched this particular niche, and we had our first clients actually over a year and a half ago. And so we have about 25 clients right now that we're working on.
And what is virtual accounting? How would you guys define that?
Virtual accounting involves outsourced accounting, and with outsourced accounting, actually, we are taking over all the accounting processes, and so it is moving the accounting department literally from the client to our accounting firm, and it's based on cloud-based accounting. So we use a program called Intact, and all of the that's an accounting software program that's very robust. And we keep track of all the transactions on that particular program.
So now, is that like a bookkeeping firm, or does it include bookkeeping, or is bookkeeping separate?
Bookkeeping is involved in that program as far as we do payables, receivables, payroll. But the best thing about it is all of the customized dashboards. And so we're able to work with the client to come up with key metrics for their industry. And then we can customize reports for whatever they would like. So as long as the client has an iPad, iPhone, it's in the cloud, so they can access their information 24/7.
Now, how is that different than a regular relationship with the accounting firm that's not non-virtual?
We actually have many clients with that as well, but that's more historical based. And so you're actually looking at transactions that have already happened and looks back more at the, you know, in the history. Where virtual accounting is real-time information that you can look at daily, hourly.
So you help the company set up kind of the KPIs, the key performance indicators that are most important, or the numbers that are most important, and they can kind of, with a dashboard, see that in real time?
That's exactly right, which has been great for our clients.
Well, it would be good for us. I mean, because you and I are not very accounting friendly, right? But exactly. To be able to just throw up a screen and look at the dashboard, get to high spots, if there's something that we don't understand, then there's probably a path to consult with somebody on your team or that kind of thing?
Absolutely. We talk to our clients daily. They are able to call us, email us. And we use a program called ShareFile, which they can download their information and upload. So we're receiving downloads and upload, you know, all during the day.
We've all heard the saying that information is power. If that were true, libraries would be the most powerful places on earth. Information really isn't power, but to do something with information is very powerful. But you have to start with the information. So this program that Rebecca heads up allows people to get information on a real-time basis so they can run their business. Only a few companies like ours make it a business of accounting. Most people have a business that's something else. So accounting is something that we're specialized in, and we can help them do that, and then they can focus on the things that they do to make money.
So now, Rebecca, what type of businesses are the ones that would most benefit from this? Are they the large enterprise firms? Are they the small, the mid-sized companies? What's kind of the sweet spot?
I would say our sweet spot is mid-market clients, but we can also do smaller type clients as well. So Intact is, like I said before, a robust program. So we can handle actually fairly complex, client situations. So we have clients that are in the restaurant business. We do a lot of clients in the restaurant business, mm-hmm. which is very helpful to them because the chefs, the GMs, and the owners are able to pull up information daily. They can look at their inventory levels for beer, wine, food.
And you need to sample their wares before you can really effectively program, right, Charlie?
That's exactly right, especially the wine.
So whose brainchild was this, Charlie? Did you invent this thing? Who came up with this idea?
I think people much smarter than me invented this, but it is a fairly new program. People are using it all over the country. We have clients that are spread out geographically, but as the internet and other computer forms of doing business have become popular, this has grown in that popularity also. The days of pushing paper and, as Rebecca said, waiting until the next month or the next year or whatever to figure out how you did are over. How could you run a business if you didn't know how you were doing until weeks or months or even a year later? We've had clients that are big companies that say, well, we haven't reconciled certain bank accounts in over 2 years, which is remarkable. How could you know? They're just guessing. So this is a way to eliminate that, and it's a cost-effective way. We figured out, I'll tell you this, for years, we have recommended to our clients that they use a payroll service. And they'd say, well, can't you do that? And we say, yeah, but the payroll services specialize in it and they're really good at it. They're really cost effective. So we're doing the same thing now with general accounting, where we've figured out how to get this done. And this software will enable us to do that effectively and efficiently and save them money and give them information in a real-time basis and keep them from having to focus on accounting and let them do whatever business they're set up to be in.
Now, most companies in individual markets, don't they kind of want to go to the accountant's office or the CPA's office to have some FaceTime? And this is your kind of saying, hey, we can do this all virtually. So how do you balance that kind of face-to-face relationship that has driven accounting for, probably since the beginning to this kind of, hey, we're going to do this virtually and you're going to kind of have this tool at your disposal?
We do both. We feel like we can do a lot virtually. I have a client that's in another state. I talk to him regularly. We've served him for 15 years. I've seen him once. We do a lot of work for him, and it works really well. He's very tech savvy also. I've offered to come see him just to do the face-to-face.
I don't need you.
He said, I've met you once. You
right,
don't need
that's
to come
enough.
Back.
Every 15 years, one meeting. That's
a little bit of Charlie goes a long way. Well, I love the focus on the dashboard versus the rearview mirror. That makes all the sense in the world to me as a small business owner. When this idea was first kind of floating around the firm, though, did it meet with a little initial resistance? Did you guys have to do a little selling, or did it just kind of, it just made all the sense in the world and boom.
We knew from some other folks in other places that it had been wildly successful. So call us the thieves of somebody else's good idea.
First to follow. I like that.
Exactly. We were. And I have a friend that has a business in Nashville, Tennessee, and they have been just crazy about this for probably 2 or 3 years. So it wasn't too hard for us to adopt, having seen others that had had great success with it, both from a success standpoint within their business, but also from a client relationship standpoint, clients being ecstatic with this.
Now, walk me through kind of the sales and marketing process of this. Are you initially, I'm sure you went to your existing clients and said, hey, we got this new service. Is that, you know, where you practiced on your existing people? Or did you go after strangers first?
No, we actually did. We did talk to our existing clients, and we were able to get an early adopter, which worked great for them as well as for us. So we did start with one of our existing clients, and it's worked out, you know, really, really well. So
now are your clients that are doing the virtual accounting, are they just exclusively virtual accounting clients, or are you mentioned that there's some kind of overlap a little?
Right. No, we actually have, I think all of our virtual accounting clients actually, we do their tax work as well.
Okay. So then, you have to, I guess, engage them in a normal way that you did historically.
Correct.
We would typically be able to do their tax work and consulting work and business advisory work. The one area that is a sticking point is with the audit. If we do the accounting to the level of our virtual accounting, it's hard for us to argue that we can be independent and come in and audit our work.
Right.
So if we met a new client and they said, we need help, we need general accounting, we need an audit, we need a tax return, we would have to sit with them and figure out what makes the most sense right. for us to help them with.
So the virtual may not work in that case.
That's
if there's
right.
an audit element
That's right.
to it.
Yep.
So now, can you, what are some of the questions you ask, or as part of that kind of get to know you to see if it's a right fit, what are some of the, you know, when you're onboarding somebody or a prospective person, you're deciding if it's going to work out, what are some of the questions you need to ask them?
I would say if they say we have a large accounting department and it works like the best thing you've ever seen, they're probably not a great prospect for this. They have something that works and we don't want to try to come in and fix something that isn't broken. Mm-hmm. It's the people, and this is the majority of people we talk to, they have some kind of problem with their accounting. Either it's not timely or it's not accurate or they don't have
so confidence. They're frustrated with kind of their accounting information.
Yes.
Like you mentioned earlier, the information is one thing, but analyzing and acting on information is another thing.
Yes. It can be the information. It can also be the turnover of the people in their department. They say, we have somebody different every so many months, which is there's a question as to why you do, but that's not for us. But we're not going anywhere. We've been here 60 years. Mm-hmm. So where we may have a different manager overseeing that work every 2 or 3 years, it's pretty much a consistent group of people doing the work. And I think that gives a business owner a lot of confidence.
So what are some of the common mistakes that you see more than occasionally, particularly in a new relationship that a person like Lee might make on the accounting side of his business? I mean, he's numbers conscious, but I mean, he's not an accounting guy, right? Do you see some of the same kind of patterns over and over?
We do. We see people who are overly focused on the numbers. They are mm-hmm. accounting crazy, and they look so hard at the numbers, they don't see what they're doing. It's the forest in the trees problem. They've lost sight. Most of the people, though, don't have good numbers to start with. They don't have numbers to make bad decisions with. They just make bad decisions on their own.
So they don't need the numbers.
They don't need the numbers. That's right. This is a waste of their time.
So now, if somebody wanted to have a conversation with you, what is the best way to have that initial conversation?
They can easily call me at the office, and I'd love to talk to them. And we start with actually a very lengthy questionnaire that goes through all their processes and numbers of transactions, because in this business, obviously, the number of transaction drives the price and, you know, how complex it will be to set the system up. So we start with a questionnaire, and then we then work with the implementation. So that would be getting downloads and different information. We can use CSV files to move their information over for us to have a starting point. And so we will start with that. And then We actually work with a consultant who sets up the instance in Intact to get their numbers over, you know, into the cloud.
Oh, let me ask about that real quick, because is there some resistance occasionally, at least initially, about putting my stuff out on the cloud? Now, in my way of thinking, that's even safer than having it at your place, but do you sometimes run into that concern?
We do.
Okay.
Even though actually it is safer to be in the cloud.
That's what I'm thinking.
And so we talk to them, you know, obviously about that, but it's definitely safer in the cloud.
It's safer than the box of receipts I have in my safe? How could that be?
Or on like that computer at Ryan's knee. I mean, that thing could go kaput any minute now, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so obviously, you know, it's backed up all the time, daily, whatever, hourly. So we have the information. So that's a big key point as well. And then also as far as just keeping up with the program, we don't have to worry about it's automatically updated with the latest versions. You know, the client doesn't have to worry about their IT, you know, system or whatever. We're able to handle all of that.
Right. So and if there's updates or if anything happens with the software, that's part of the, it's included, right? There's no
that's
additional
exactly right.
fees to that. Now, if you were kind of, if you can go back in time, is this solution virtual accounting? Is this something that should be implemented everywhere? It's like for most people, unless there's an audit element to it, is this something that's going to be kind of everywhere eventually?
I had a fella come over from a big four firm, back then a big eight firm, 25 years ago, and speak to our firm. He was an auditor, and he talked, his topic was continual auditing, which was revolutionary at the time, where he would say, instead of coming in at the end of the year, he was talking about a public utility as his example, we get information on a regular basis so we can track what's going on with this utility. At the time, we thought that is just something that's way beyond what anybody's doing. And here we are 25 years later, and we're talking about small businesses being able to have this ability. It's going to get to the point where if you want to be at the cutting edge, if you want to be really competitive, if you want to lead in your industry, you have to have this. You cannot run your business and compete with my business if you wait until the next month or the next quarter or the next year to get the information. You
right. Can. It's the real-time information that is, it's almost that you're giving them a competitive advantage.
That's right. Absolutely right.
Well, I'd like to dive into this dashboard a little bit, and I'm going to make it about me for just a few moments, but, you know, it is my show. So Business Radio X, we have several lines of revenue. We have a few lines of expenses as well. One of the lines of revenue is we have underwriters who will sponsor shows and use this platform to serve their ecosystem. So we've got that revenue line. We have a whole other line of business where we go out and we do conferences and trade shows and that kind of thing. And then we have Business Radio X Studios who have the benefit of our brand equity and our methodology. So there's some revenue coming from that. If we were set up with this kind of system, could we actually have a dashboard that kind of shows us those high spots, revenue, and maybe even some expense ratio or trending, or because that's the kind of thing I'd want to look at every, you know, I don't know about every day, but every week. Is that, or is that getting too granular, or is that very achievable?
No, that's very achievable. And Rebecca's got an example of a dashboard out. We set this up. The beauty of it is for most people, including me, and I'm a CPA, if I can see a picture,
yeah,
I can figure it out in a second. If you show me a string of numbers, I got to sit there and figure it out. It takes me a little while. But the nice thing about this dashboard is, as you can see, it's got pie charts, and we can do line graphs and bar graphs. And there's a line graph over there that will show you your trends and show you what's going on, that you can look at that in a moment and see the picture, see the graphs. And if you want to study more, there's also the detail there in numeric format. And again, you can pull that up every day and say, what did I do yesterday? How am I doing month to date, year to date? And that's really strong.
Right. And it's not, and that's, those metrics aren't just the same metrics for everybody, right? Like the restaurant metric, the restaurant lady that's running the restaurant, her metrics could be totally different.
She's going to want to look at waste and all that
right.
Kind of
she
stuff,
has
right?
her own priorities. I have my priorities. And that utility has their priorities, and you can customize it to whatever our key numbers are, right?
And we do. We'll ask the client, what's important to you? That's important to us. We'll also educate them on maybe there's some things they should be concerned with. A client may say, the most important thing to me is how quickly we collect our receivables. I'm just making it up.
Right.
So we can we can track that. That can be a part of their dashboard. You just said that revenue lines in various areas that you work is very important. We can track that. You talked about expenses. We can track that. So it, that dashboard ultimately may be a combination of things that you think are important, which are, and things which we'd like you to also consider.
Stuff you think you
the
know.
The real stuff that really is important.
But look, Lee, at the impact on scale. So if we had something like this and then we were able to share trends and benchmarks with Pensacola Business Radio, St. Louis Business Radio, then, I mean, to me, this has an impact on an organization's ability to scale. Am I reading that accurate as well?
Absolutely right.
And
yes.
Also, as well, you can do budget versus actual. And the other nice thing is if you can pick any number on this dashboard and it'll drill down and go to the original transaction. So you're able to see the backup on any of the numbers on the dashboard, which is nice. And also for locations, several of our restaurant locations might have 10 different location sites.
Right.
And so we are able to keep track by location so they can track and see exactly which location.
So it's almost like a dashboard within a dashboard. So you can
That's
see
right.
with the restaurant 8 is underperforming and restaurant 4 is killing it. Hey, what is restaurant 4 doing differently than restaurant 8? So maybe we can help restaurant 8.
That's absolutely right.
So now it sounds very useful, but it also sounds very expensive. Is this something that's very expensive or is this reasonable for most firms or where does this stand in terms of pricing?
If you think about how much it costs to have an accounting department, I talked to somebody a week or so ago and I said, what's your monthly spend for accounting? And we're talking about this very service. And they said, well, we're about $20,000 a month. That's not inexpensive. So when you compare what we can do, and it's not really meant to eliminate their entire accounting
right.
staff. You still need people. We talked about earlier about having people to talk to versus having this computerized thing. Part of the problem with technology is that they've oversold to the customers. They've said, all you've got to do is buy our expensive software, plug it in, and you
and
can
then
go
walk
home.
Away.
Sure, and everything's great. And that's just not fair. But we can reduce the number of people they have, and we can increase their confidence. Another nice thing we haven't touched on much is independence. We're not employed by them. We're not handling their cash either. So it would be terrible, but I don't even know how in our system we would somebody could commit a fraud with them. But it can be priced, and it's a monthly flat fee. Rebecca?
It's a subscription. So is it something you pay for annually or you pay for it monthly or you got to earn your keep every month? How does it work?
We actually bill a flat fee monthly, which it changes as far as if someone wants a new customized report or a location comes on board, then obviously we're changing
that. Right,
you have
to change something.
So it changes really more often than you would think as far as month to month, but we do bill monthly.
It gives them predictability. If it's $5,000 a month, let's say, they know what my bill is going to be. And if it stays, if the level of service and the things they need stay the same, they can count on that fee. And we'll have some months where something goes sideways and we have to spend more time on it. We just take that in the shorts and then some other months, maybe it's real efficient.
Now, but does it help them at the year end when they're getting their tax stuff together? Is this something that makes it almost painless?
Absolutely. It helps because we're able to work and keep track of the numbers, by month, and they can review them daily. So we're able to isolate issues or problems or if a transaction needs to be, adjusted, we're able to do that real time right there instead of waiting till the end of the year, which makes it more efficient as well because the tax department can go ahead and start looking at the numbers and start preparing the returns earlier.
It can make a huge difference in a cost standpoint. Where we have a client that will bring their records to us at the end of the year and say, here's my work, I need a tax return. By the end, when we send them a bill for that service, they say, wow, that was a lot more expensive than somebody else I know says they would charge for the tax return. And I'll say, but 75% of that time was in correcting your books. The tax return isn't hard.
Right.
It's the mess that you brought us. I don't use that language, but you know what I mean.
But no, if you can nip the bud in July
yeah.
and just real time all the way through, then like Lee's saying, I think that yeah. part is just goes smooth.
So right. so imagine they're winning two ways. A, they got information along the way that was correct and accurate. They could run their business. And they saved at the end of the year when they were working with their tax provider. So we don't see how anybody's losing.
Now, when you're going to market like this, are you leaning on the other accountants in your firm to bubble up these opportunities for you? Is this now Rebecca's problem?
are you the rainmaker, Rebecca?
I'm not the only rainmaker. No, actually, everyone in the firm is our rainmakers. And so we do a lot of education and training. And I've spoken a lot in our firm about this niche. And so we actually have all of our personnel out there working to sell this business. And they're able to see where it makes sense. And so it's been working out great.
It's not a hard thing to find either. All we've got to do is have somebody saying, gee, my accounting doesn't work the way it should. And that's the majority of companies. And we're in the door and we'll show them this solution. And they may say, well, that's great, but I think I just need a CFO. And there are mm-hmm. other types of people they may need. But a lot of times folks will say, let's try this.
So before they hire an official CFO, that's probably a good sweet spot for you. This can kind of hold down the fort.
It would depend on the size of the company. That's a good question. And the definition of a CFO is really a wide one. If you think about a business with 30 people needing a CFO versus Coca-Cola, if Coca-Cola said, we'd like to hire you to do this and we won't have to have our CFO, that would be a bad idea.
Yes. So public companies, maybe not the right fit for you.
Right, right. That's right.
All right. So if somebody wanted to learn more or have that substantive conversation, they can go to your website. I'm sure it has a lot of good information there.
Yes.
What is the website?
WyndhamBrannon.com.
And that's WyndhamBrannon.com?
Yes, sir.
And then Rebecca, can they contact you or they can find you on there?
Yes, my information's on there.
Rebecca Smith, thank you both for being part of the show today.
Thank you
so much.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and our producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, saying we will see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.